From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast. Hello and welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I'm here with Zach Rosenblatt, my colleague with the Star, and our new guy, still a rookie, Justin Spears. Hey guys, how are we doing today?
Justin's been through a lot for a rookie though.
I know, seriously.
Busy couple of weeks.
Am I just bad luck or is this a big coincidence?
No, we all decided Lev was bad luck. Ever since he came here from USC, it's just been scandal after scandal. You know, coach firing. It's all his fault.
I'm the one who brought the drama. Like, as soon as I started on this beat, they pretty much purged the entire defensive staff. Ever since, there's been a lot of activity. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Colorado game coming up in this podcast. We're also going to talk about the developments from the news conference, which we just exited from, including the status of freshman safety Scotty Young, who was arrested last week on a charge of misdemeanor domestic violence. Let's hear what Rich Rodriguez had to say. I asked him about Scotty Young junior status a couple different times and in a couple different ways during the news conference. Let's listen to Rich and then we'll talk about what he said.
What is the status of Scotty Young junior?
We've consulted with all the appropriate authorities, including the dean of students, and Scotty Young is participating in all team activities.
How is this situation different from what happened with Orlando Bradford last year?
Well, it is different. And every situation with all of our players is evaluated individually.
How is it different?
Every situation with all our players is evaluated individually, and it's different. This is a different situation.
So getting back to Scotty Young, you said that he's participating in all team activities. Is that
That's correct.
For now, or does it depend on what happens with the case?
He's participating with all team activities.
Does that mean he's faced any sort of discipline whatsoever? Outside of...
I think I've probably commented enough about Scotty Young. Happy to talk about Colorado.
Okay, so you heard from Arizona coach Rich Rodriguez, who said that despite the fact that Scotty Young Jr. was arrested last week and was involved in a domestic violence incident, charged with misdemeanor domestic violence, he is still with the team. He is participating in all team activities. This is a surprising development in a way because of the zero tolerance policy that Rich Rod seemed to have established a year ago in the case of Orlando Bradford. And as you heard on the recording, I asked what's the difference between that case and this case. He said the two were different in their minds and they talked to a lot of people about it, and that every single case is, you know, judged individually. Well, let's start with you, Zach. Were you surprised at the outcome of this situation? Do you think that Rich Rod is setting himself up for some criticism here?
Well, to answer that last part, absolutely. Especially just because the culture around, in other words, domestic violence, and there's just been so many cases of it being handled incorrectly from NFL to college, all over the place, other sports too. But even just not knowing what details they know or whatever is different between this and Orlando Bradford, it just really surprises me that he's just not even suspending him in some regard, even if it means for a half, a quarter. It just seems, even if none of it's true, which who knows, we're not going to get into the weeds. Like, it's still out there. There's still a police report, and the words domestic violence are still attached to one of your players, and I think you have to get in front of it, and he's clearly not, and I'm kind of curious to see the reaction from the public from here, because we've seen them react strongly in other cases.
So he didn't rule out the possibility of there being some form of discipline. He didn't really want to talk about it very much. It certainly doesn't seem like at this point that there would be. Now, I know you guys talked on Friday about how this case seems to be different from Orlando Bradford. We're not going to get into all the details of what we know and what happened. He said, she said, all of that. But I want to ask you, Justin, what did you think was going to happen today? What did you think that Rich Rod was going to say? What did you think he was going to do?
You know, I actually thought he kind of would have elaborated on it, especially because you were sitting there trying to thinking, or you were asking him, how was this different from last year? In Orlando Bradford's case, I mean, just by looking at the details, and we're not going to get into the details, it is a little bit different. And last year, what did Rich Rodriguez say?
Tolerance.
Zero tolerance. You put your hands on a woman, that's it. You're done.
Yeah, there wasn't like – he didn't like specify if you do it that's this it. Way or that way. Yeah, it was
– So, and that's why when you were saying, is he going to get a lot of criticism when this is his response for Scotty Young's situation and it's completely different from Orlando Bradford. So, I mean, it's a really – sticky situation right now, and I think, of course, with everything still ongoing, Rich Rodriguez doesn't really want to say anything that could put both him and Scotty Young in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely seemed to be reading from a statement. He glanced down a couple times to look at something that was obviously written on a piece of paper that he had with him, so he obviously consulted with not only the PR team at Arizona, but probably some legal counsel as well, you know, to see what he could say, what he should say, what he shouldn't say. I'm sure he didn't want to get involved in any of the details, lest it affect the case in some shape or form. I talked about this on Zach Clark's radio show last past Friday. It's been my experience covering football and sports for a long time that players are treated differently depending on what their status is. You know, Jimmy Johnson, the famous coach of the Dallas Cowboys and Miami Dolphins, and I remember interviewing him 20 years ago or so, and he said that very thing. I treat every player differently. They're all individuals. You know, a lot of them, I mean, a lot of it is more in the area of, like, how do I handle, you know, teaching these players or coaching these players? Some respond better to being disciplined. Some respond better to sort of a softer touch, a lighter touch. But, I mean, let's face it. There is an element of the better the player, you know, the more likely they're going to get some leeway. I'm not saying that that's precisely what happened in this situation, but, I mean, let's look at the facts. Scotty Young Jr., extremely promising, starting player. Orlando Bradford was viewed as a starter or called a starter, but really wasn't, you know, on the same plane as a Nick Wilson or a J.J. Taylor at the time. Not as integral to Arizona's plans. We're also, you know, this is a coach who's kind of fighting for his job as well. I think he didn't state any of these things, but I think these are some of the elements that played into this whole situation.
Or at least these are things that people looking at the situation are going to think because he didn't address it head on, which I think is the biggest concern coming out of this, I guess. But
and that's a big hit on Rich Rod because, of course, everybody knows what's going on with Arizona basketball with the FBI investigation. And in a bye week, I mean, his only focus was recruiting. And then you add this in the mix, and then Rich Rod's like, it just won't stop hitting us. And I honestly feel really bad, but it's a really kind of messed up situation going forward, and it should be interesting to see how it all unravels.
So moving on to some other news that was covered in the press conference, asked about Cam Denson's status. He's been removed from the depth chart. We saw him walking around with a boot on his foot, and Richard basically indicated that this is not an injury that's going to heal anytime soon. He talked about, you know, the possibility still of him applying for a medical redshirt if that's what Cam wants to do, if he doesn't play
the
rest of the season.
Which I think is a factor that people have to, if it matters if Cam wants to play still or not. You know?
Yeah, no, it's a legitimate question. I mean, sometimes you just get to a point where you're like, I'm, you know, tired of dealing with this. I don't want to go through rehab again and all that stuff. You know, from a football standpoint, Rich mentioned this. He thought that Cam was on the verge of finally breaking out. He was having a really good start to spring practice last year, or this past spring, before this injury popped up. Justin, what do you think he could have brought to the offense had he been available?
And see, that's the thing is, since me being a Tucson native, I've watched Cam Denson. I've actually played against Cam Denson.
I mean, I covered him. Yeah,
and I played against Cam Denson. It was
so young.
It wasn't a regular season game. It was a scrimmage, so
was
no
was
wins
he
and
on
losses.
Offense and you on defense?
No, I was on offense, but
well,
he was
he also
on defense,
played defense.
So he was
yeah.
in the corner. As
well,
well.
Was, well, not to cut you off, but like when I covered him, I haven't covered that much high school football, but he was one of the most dynamic high school football players I've ever seen. Like that dude, if he touched the ball, he was scoring. Like
oh, and absolutely, and
he
that's
played
why.
Quarterback, receiver, corner, returner,
and I totally forgot about that. Their starting quarterback went out.
He was
and
like the Wildcat.
He was
running it every play.
But when I first saw him play, my first reaction was this guy is going to be if he goes to Arizona because he wasn't committed yet. He's going to be a big time receiver. because he was a four-star recruit. And the way he played defensive back, you could just tell by his hips that he wasn't really ready for the next level. So when he was initially a cornerback, I was like, that's going to change. And then when they made him a wide receiver, I thought, this is it right here. This is going to be kind of the next Samaje Grant slot receiver, where he can make a difference with his feet, but he's also very tough. And he's also a pretty good kick returner or punt returner.
Which they haven't really used him at.
Which they haven't used him at all. So it's a very Cam Denson's situation is interesting. But, yeah, he could have brought a lot to Arizona, but it's just injuries after injuries after injuries. He just can't catch a break.
The reality is, whether it's because of injuries or them putting him at the wrong position, when you look back, he's going to be one of the most disappointing recruits that Rich Rod has signed in his tenure, just because you consider the hype that he came with. He was coming in at a position of need, receiver slash corner, whatever they decided. And it's, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And it's one of, I've written about this. It's one of many four-star guys. I just did air quotes. That didn't pan out. But, yeah, it's unfortunate because, like I said, you know, he was really fun to watch in high school. But this is why there's smarter people than us who talent evaluate, because who knows what a guy's going to look like when he gets to college.
And it was a big deal because he was a four-star and a Tucson guy that ended up staying with Arizona. Not many guys are like those.
Yeah, he had offers elsewhere.
A little bit better news on the injury front. Khalil Tate, from everything we've heard from Rich Rod, seems to be all the way back from that shoulder injury. Now, Rich Rod said that Brandon Dawkins remains the starter, but he also said that the fact that Khalil's back
maybe changes things a little.
You know,
bit.
At least creates the possibility of making a change at some point if Brandon struggles. He didn't say that specifically, but that was kind of the implication. What do you guys think having Khalil back in the mix means as far as this overall Arizona quarterback dynamic?
Well, if nothing else, it just gives them another option, because I think they pretty clearly just didn't have another option. Otherwise, Khalil would have played against Utah, because we saw – I mean, Dawkins turned it over – what?
Four times.
Yeah. It's been a while since the game. Or it feels like it's been a while at least. But, yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it just gives Rich another option, because – He pretty clearly, like, Rhett and Donovan Tate maybe aren't ready for prime time yet. Or if they were, they would have played against Utah. That's just a reality. So I'm interested to see if Dawkins struggles, how quickly he pulls him, or even if he's not maybe struggling as much as he had, if he gives Khalil some run anyway.
I'm going to put on my John Gruden hat. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Brandon Dawkins has to have one of the best halves he's ever had at Arizona this game. I'm being dead serious right now, because – if he doesn't, Khalil Tate will replace him at halftime. That's my hot take right there. But, I mean, Brandon's in a position where, I mean, we talked about this narrative all the time, where he's a veteran quarterback. He shouldn't be making the mistakes that he's making. Now that Khalil's healthy, they have a second option. If Brandon starts messing up and it starts going south, I think you have no other option but to put Khalil Tate in.
What do you think about that?
I think I like the fact that Justin's making a bold proclamation here on our
doing
podcast.
It as John Gruden, too.
It's in his John Gruden voice, yeah. I think the one thing that everyone needs to remember about Khalil Tate is he still remains relatively inexperienced.
And he's 18.
To say the least, he's still really young. He played only a handful of games last year. You know, he got into the NAU game and then the Houston game a little bit this season, but he wasn't healthy, and it was kind of a, you know, weird situation that he was involved in. But just to think that he's going to come in and kind of be the savior of Arizona football, I think people need to temper their expectations a little because of his experience level. Now, there is some precedent for, you know, some quarterback chicanery going on at Colorado,
yeah,
Zach.
I was there.
Last time you were there, what happened? Tell everybody.
Yeah. I mean, so Anu Solomon, he had been struggling a little bit. He wasn't really being consistent. And it was during that game. I don't know if this was the first time, but it was the most significant time. Anu was struggling going into late in the game, and they inserted Gerard Randall into the game. And Gerard Randall kind of guided them to the win. And all of a sudden, we had another quarterback controversy on our hands. And, you know, it was constant flip-flopping, and that ended up being the downfall of Anu, besides the concussions and all the injuries. But
wasn't Anu put back into that game?
Did he throw a late-game touchdown?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he threw, like, a late-game touchdown that pretty sealed the deal. So, hey, two quarterbacks.
The flip-flopping happened within the game.
Yeah, there you go.
And I don't think that I nor Justin or anyone is advocating that you're flip-flopping quarterbacks, that you're going back and forth, right? Like, if you make that change, like you're talking about, to Khalil Tate in the second half and he plays well,
then he's the guy.
Then I think he's the guy. If he doesn't play well, then you have to kind of figure it out.
The press conference, we already know the first 10 questions.
Right. And, you know, transitioning to Colorado and speaking of their quarterback situation, there were pretty high expectations, I feel like, for Steven Montez coming into this year. I think a lot of us thought he would be an upgrade over Sefo Lufau. And he really hasn't been so far. I think it speaks to the fact that it is a very hard position to play. And guys who are able to step in right away and excel at this high of a level, I mean, that's a rare breed. You're going to go through some growing pains. But I think this is a pretty good Colorado team that Arizona is catching kind of at the wrong time. 0-2 start to Pac-12 play. You're going to get a desperate team playing at home. I mean, I think they could be kind of walking into a hornet's nest. What do you guys think about the state of Colorado heading into this week?
Best case scenario would have been if they could have pulled out that win against UCLA. Because now, what was that game at UCLA?
It was at UCLA.
Yeah, so they're on the road. So now they're going home, coming off two losses in a row. They have no wins in conference play. So, and they're a talented team. You know, people still were talking really highly of them before the season. They've had a pretty tough schedule. But, yeah, I mean, their defense is really talented. So if Brandon Dawkins struggles early, then this game could get out of hand, I think.
And another thing that a lot of people always forget, it's Colorado, that altitude. I mean, these guys aren't really adjusted to that. So, I mean, expect either the Steven Montez to throw, you know, quick bubble screens or just keep giving the ball to Phillip Lindsay and just keep doing these quick little 3-4 yard plays to where Arizona's defense, the longer Colorado's offense stays on the field, the higher chance they have of beating Arizona.
This will be one of the best tests of Arizona's run defense because, as Rich Rod said in the news conference, Phillip Lindsay is one of the best running backs in the Pac-12. Best one they've faced so far. He sort of said he was kind of glad that they're not facing Bryce Love this year unless they both end up winning their divisions and they play in the Pac-12 championship game. Yep. Zach is chuckling over here about that. But he's a little dude. He's like 5'8", but really tough. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and they're going to give him the rock. I mean, I would not be surprised at all if he had 25 carries in this game as they try to wear down that Arizona defense. We haven't really seen a team really do that, really commit to that, like, pound-away type of running game. They also have really good receivers. I touched on the fact that Steven Montez has struggled a little bit with turnovers and stuff like that. But as far as the running game goes, the interior of that defense is probably going to be the biggest test that they face. I think that's about all we have to talk about for right now. We're going to be back with some more podcasts later in the week. Wednesday, I think Greg Hansen and Ryan Finley will get together. Zach?
Justin's going to talk on Thursday to a beat writer from Colorado.
Vantage Point. His new series. We have a name for that whole thing.
Justin and I worked really hard on that. We were going back and forth. We were like, we can't, because there was already some that were used. So we were worried for a second. Then it just came to me.
You know? Zach and I are going to come back on Friday with our usual kind of pregame chat. We'll get more in depth about the matchup itself. And we have a contest going on, right? Can someone tell the listeners about this contest?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of a fantastic photo contest. You go to Tucson.com, or you can also go on the Wildcaster Facebook and the Wildcaster Twitter account. We've been promoting it. So click on the link. There's a little submission button where you can just, all you got to do is just click on the camera, upload a photo of yourself wearing Arizona gear, and we'll choose a winner. Winner will get a $50 gift card to the Arizona bookstore and tickets right on the 50-yard line for Arizona's next home game against UCLA on October 14th.
So you get to sit right in the middle of the field to watch Josh Rosen for UCLA, future NFL quarterback. It will be another great challenge upcoming.
Maybe this is the year they finally beat UCLA, too.
Maybe
who knows?
It will be. I mean, I would say this in closing that, I mean, these upcoming games are tough, but I think they're all winnable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Arizona is going to win, but they are winnable.
So, yeah, what is it? It goes Colorado, UCLA, and Cal. And then
Cal's kind of fallen off a little bit after their hot start.
Those are three winnable games. Yeah. If you can come out of that 2-1, I think you're in a good position.
That would be maybe a best case scenario to be 2-1 out of those three heading into
Even
Washington State.
Even so, it's still an uphill climb to get to 6, but 2-1 is best case scenario probably.
All right, so check out our contest. Check out the Wildcaster app if you haven't already. It's completely free. All the stuff on there is free. You do not need to be a subscriber to the Arizona Daily Star to read all of that stuff and check it out.
There's stuff about Sean Miller on there.
Yes, there is a lot of basketball stuff on there, as you can imagine. We'll continue to talk about the whole basketball situation, obviously, on the Wildcast podcast.
You're going to talk about it?
I am not going to talk about it. No, I'm happy over here on Football Corner, just doing my football thing. All right, anyway, for Justin Spears and Zach Rosenblatt, I am Michael Love. Thank you for listening to the Wildcast. We'll see you later in the week.